From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. Our home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music. If you'd like to appear in our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top is supported in part by an award from the National Endowment for the Arts. On the web at arts.gov.
You're listening to ICANN. The International Children's Arts Network is made possible by Hoffman Academy. Online piano lessons for kids. Learn more at hoffmanacademy.com.
ICANN is a place for kids like you and me.
KQAC HD2 Portland 89.9.
KQOC HD2 Glen Eden Beach 88.1.
KSLC HD2 McMinnville 90.3.
KQHR HD2 The Dalles and Hood River 88.1.
Thank you. Javier Morales Martinez, 18, from Los Angeles, California, performed the second movement of the Sonata for Clarinet and Piano by Leonard Bernstein. Yours truly was at the piano. That was fun.
And tiring.
And tiring. Given that today's program celebrates Jewish music and Jewish composers, we've talked quite a bit about the American Jewish immigration experience. But you also come from an immigrant family. Your parents moved to the U.S. from Oaxaca, Mexico. Can you tell us a little bit about how your family's experience has motivated you in your musical life?
Well, growing up, my family didn't really have many opportunities because they grew up in a small village in Oaxaca. Mm-hmm. So they didn't even get to go to college or anything. So just having those opportunities, you know, really motivates me. And, you know, I see the sacrifice they do to take me to all my music lessons, especially when I was younger, and, you know, drive me to all, or even take the bus to all my music lessons and, you know, sacrifice your time for me. And I really value that because they could just be at home sleeping, but they're not.
Right. But, so thanks, Mom and Dad.
Yeah.
Right here on the radio forever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you also like to let people know that it's possible to pursue classical music even if you don't come from a wealthy family.
Yeah, of course. One of my friends was saying the other day how you need to be wealthy in order to pursue classical music, and I don't really agree with that because I feel that if you meet the right kind of people, like, well, I mean, one of my great mentors is you, Laura, which I really appreciate you.
Thank you.
But I've been so lucky to have met really great mentors along the way. You know, before I was at USC, I was at Colburn, the community school.
Yeah.
And they're
wonderful school.
Yeah. And I mean, the dean, my teachers, everyone was just so supportive. Mm-hmm. And they would always tell me, apply to this, apply to this. And, you know, I was always busy preparing for something. And that really kept me going all the time. And I really value those people.
And in the world of music, for both of us, I think that one of the great mentors and models when we think about being an artist citizen, about doing good in the world through our music and in other ways, is Leonard Bernstein. He was so committed to using his music as part of a bigger message, to connecting people with each other, to fight the injustices of the world through music and art. And I know I've learned a lot from that example. I think you have too. To take us out of the program today, we would like to share with you a beautiful song by Leonard Bernstein that expresses all of these ideas. His song, Somewhere from West Side Story, performed by musicians that we've met earlier on the program. Back on stage with us, we're going to bring 17-year-old violinist Takumi Taguchi, 14-year-old cellist Sarah Cave, and Javier is going to join us as well. But before we begin, I want to thank all of our young performers today for playing so beautifully, for giving your hearts and your souls to your music to us. It's been such a pleasure. And thanks to all of you for listening. I'm pianist Lara Downs, and this has just been so much fun. Please join us on From the Top next week. And now, guys, let's take this from the top. Thank you. Takumi Taguchi, 17, from Shoreline, Washington, performed Figaro Variations on Rossini's Barber of Seville by Mario Castelnuovo Tedesco, edited by Yasha Heifetz. That's a hard piece to play.
A little bit, yes.
But you make it sound so easy and joyful and full of humor, just like the opera aria that it's based on. You know, when I was your age, I have the strongest memories of being in Vienna at the Opera House and seeing the Barber of Seville and just having such an impression, you know, of the dramatic energy in this scene. It's just so full of humor and bravado and just done with such, you know, flair. Have you been able to take some interpretive ideas from the opera itself?
Yes. Sorry, I'm a little
catch
out of breath.
Breath.
A little bit. Sorry. So when I was first learning this piece last June, I was lucky that the Seattle Opera was doing a production of The Barber of Seville, and so I took myself over to one of these shows, and I think watching the whole opera really gave me the context for how just how totally exaggerated this whole thing has to be, this whole piece. I think it was really amazing to watch Figaro being so comical, so just boastful and melodramatic. And I think I really enjoyed that. So I took a lot of inspiration from watching that opera.
Tell us about your performance. You worked with an organization called Music of Remembrance. Can you share a little bit about what that meant for you?
Yes, Music of Remembrance is an organization, a nonprofit organization based in Seattle that I've had the privilege and honor of working with for about the past 5 years or so. I received a young artist scholarship from them about 5 years ago, and that was when I first started to work with them. But their mission is to share the music and the stories of oppressed peoples, especially with the focus on the Holocaust. And I think getting to hear these definitely painful stories, but also hearing so much of the hope and the joy that they kept trying to hold on to was definitely extremely moving. And I think it's very meaningful to me.
It's one of the most powerful things about music, I think, to see us through hard times. And so much of the music that we're sharing here today has very much to do with hope and, you know, using music and art as a means for expressing hope and finding your way out of difficult and terrible situations. So thank you so much for sharing that. And thank you for sharing your music with us. Now go backstage and catch your breath and relax. Thank you so much. Takumi Taguchi, 17, from Shoreline, Washington. On today's From the Top, we're celebrating the contributions of the Jewish community to the world of music. I'm pianist Lara Downs. For me, one of the most fascinating and pivotal moments in American musical history was the wave of immigration from Hitler's Europe in the 1930s and 40s that brought countless musicians here to the U.S. The music they brought with them changed the sound of America. And in many cases, that change happened in Hollywood, where they found new careers scoring films for the golden age of movie making. Earlier on, we heard a piece by Castelnuovo Tedesco, who escaped fascist Italy in 1938 with the help of Yasha Heifetz, ending up in Hollywood. Next up, the music of Alexander Tanzmann, who fled Germany for Hollywood, sponsored by none other than Charlie Chaplin. We'll hear two movements of Tanzmann's piece Arabesques for piano, and to play them, a young pianist from the rural town of Waleska, right here in Georgia. Please welcome 18-year-old Helen Bryant. Helen, tell us about the movements you're going to play.
The first movement is an intermezzo, and the second movement, a mazurka, is an homage to Chopin.
The king of mazurkas.
Indeed.
Take it away, Helen.
Thank you.
Defiant, 18, from Waleska, Georgia, performed the intermezzo and mazurka from Alexander Tanzman's Arabesques for piano. Such beautiful playing, Helen.
Thank you so much.
I was getting a little teary.
Yeah, me too.
You put such soul into the music and so many colors. It's really just a privilege to hear you.
Thank you so much.
And you come by it honestly, right?
I do.
Your parents are both musicians.
Yes.
I've met them. They're lovely people. What's it been like for you to grow up in such a musical household?
I can't describe how, of course, beneficial to me as a musician that it's been to grow up with musician parents, but also just having access to all kinds of music for my entire life is something that I never take for granted, and something that my parents, I'm just so lucky to have been able to have that exposure from such a young age. So I think that's really important.
Share one of your earliest memories of making music with your parents.
So one of my earliest memories is actually with my dad, who is like a walking jazz encyclopedia, I like to call him. And he used to sit me in his lap at the piano when I was very, very young, obviously before I could read notation. And he would teach me songs out of the Real Book, which is a set of jazz standards, yeah. Jazz classics. And he would teach me those by ear, and that really fostered a passion for the piano.
You're so lucky, and it's paid off so beautifully. You live nearby in a very small town. You go to a high school up there.
I do.
And can you tell us a little bit about what it's like to go to a school where not so many people are involved with classical music?
Absolutely. So I am actually the only classical musician that goes to my school, and the people at my school are just lovely people, just amazing compassion they show for one another, and friendship. And despite feeling very loved and appreciated in an environment like that, I've also felt very isolated at times, because my interests are so different from what the typical interest is for someone that goes to my school. I do play a solo instrument, so when I have the chance to collaborate with other kids who are like-minded, it's an amazing experience.
Yeah. It was the same for me. We were actually homeschooled.
Oh, wow.
My sisters and I were just home, you know, together, and it was pretty isolating. So it was we were so happy when we got to leave the house and go to youth orchestra or classes at the conservatory and just connect with other kids, because it really is so important to have community. And it's been so great for me to see the community that you have built here this weekend with
Absolutely. Other
from the top.
A very instant connection among us kids.
A great weekend. Speaking of friends, your friends call you the mom of the group. Why is that?
So I think most friend groups have that friend that's very maternal or paternal, whatever. And they do call me the mom friend, because I have everything in my bag that someone might need, like band-aids or gum, or like when I took gym classes, I had like a change of clothes for anyone in case they forgot theirs, like that sort of thing. So
I needed safety pins earlier. I should have come to you.
Oh yeah. Well, I probably have some somewhere.
I'm equally as bad. I carry this giant purse and it's always full of, you know, Kleenex and lip balm and a weird amount of snacks.
Yeah.
And I also do this thing whenever we go out to eat, I'll take, you know, 50 paper napkins, and I'm always handing them out to people as if they're toddlers. So if anyone needs anything after the show, come see
us.
We
got you covered. We got you.
So you may be the maternal type, but you say that music kind of takes care of you.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
The teenage years for anybody are really difficult. If you think about it, you're forced to make a lot of decisions about your career and what you and who you want to be when you grow up, when you don't know a lot of the answers yourself. And that can cause a lot of problems for teenagers. But I will say that because of music and because of my instrument, I have always felt so at home and so at peace with what I feel like I am here to do, and that is play piano. And because I have something that I love so intensely, it has saved me a lot of the stress that I know comes with being a teenager.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you a very shocking secret.
you will never actually have all the answers.
Yeah.
Which is the amazing thing about music, because it stays with you throughout your life, throughout all of your, you know, your questioning and your searching and your finding your way and losing your way and finding your way again. And I know that you'll have that, and your future is so bright and beautiful. And it's just been a pleasure to get to know you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Helen Bryant, 18, from Waleska, Georgia.
Support for From the Top comes from Senior Helpers, an industry leader in Alzheimer's, dementia, and Parkinson's care, providing families with personalized in-home care, helping your loved ones remain safe and independent at home at seniorhelpers.com.
This is the International Children's Arts Network. Later today is the International Lullaby Hour. Lullabies from all over the world, from France to Brazil, and right here from the United States. But first, it's story time. That's all right here on ICANN.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. This week, we're coming to you from the William Bremen Jewish Heritage Museum in Atlanta, Georgia. Coming up, a movement of Leonard Bernstein's Sonata for Clarinet and Piano, performed by an 18-year-old from California. Today's show, celebrating Jewish music and Jewish composers, is made possible with support from the Molly Blank Fund of the Arthur M. Blank Family Foundation, the Piedmont National Family Foundation, and the Jewish Federation of Greater Atlanta. Here again is today's guest host, pianist Laura Downs.
Now we're going to hear some new music composed by an 18-year-old from Los Angeles. His name is Ben Beckman. Will you introduce your piece and tell us a little bit about it?
My piece is a piano quartet called Three Views. It's in three movements. The first movement is called In Solitude. It's inspired by sitting on a park bench in Central Park in New York, where, you know, for a while everything is still, and then a flurry of activity happens, and then it's still again. So it's about that contrast. The second movement is called Inside. It was inspired by running through cross-country running in Montreal, and everything in the streets just seems so vibrant. People walking around, open air markets, things like that. And then the last movement is called Distant, and it's inspired by an overlook of the city of Los Angeles in the Santa Monica Mountains, a sort of meditation on city life and everything that goes on inside of it.
Fantastic. Will you introduce the players? Tell us about the instrumentation of the piece.
Definitely. So as I said, it's for a piano quartet. So it's piano and three string players. So on violin, we have Takumi Taguchi, and viola is Jackie Liu, and Sarah Cave is our cellist. And it's been just such an honor and privilege to work with these incredible musicians these past couple days.
Well, we're looking forward to hearing the piece. Take it away.
Thank you.
Benjamin Beckman's Three Views, performed by 17-year-old violinist Takumi Taguchi, 14-year-old cellist Sarah Cave, we met those two earlier in the program, and 15-year-old Jackie Liu joined us from Plano, Texas, to perform the viola on Ben's piece. Thank you, Jackie. And Ben himself was at the piano. Ben Beckman's appearance on From the Top is supported by the ASCAP Foundation Irving Caesar Fund. Ben, I love this piece.
Thank you so much.
I just, you know, I hear new things in it every time. I've heard it, what, 3-4 times this weekend?
Something like that.
I just heard that really cool Hitchcock moment.
Oh, really? I didn't even know I had a Hitchcock moment.
I'm loving it. No, but I love how you create all these, you know, instant mood shifts. You really take us with you on this journey to different cities and different moods.
Thank you so much.
I mean, you know, you're a composer. You say that when you're writing music, you're so happy and you just kind of get in a zone and time flies.
Definitely. People talk about getting into this psychological flow state, whatever mm-hmm. that means. But for me, you know, sometimes I'll sit down at the piano and maybe it's 2 p.m. and we're so lucky to have this beautiful space in our living room with the piano and there's windows and lots of sunlight gets in.
Nice.
And I won't have any lights on. There's tons of natural light and I'll be sitting there and I'll be working and then I wake up and the room is totally dark. I can't see what I'm writing anymore. And it's 9 p.m. and 7 hours have passed. And it's, you know, it's just such a joy to be able to write music and to express myself through music. It's, definitely.
I sometimes have the same experience, but not with beautiful windows. Usually it's in like a depressing practice room. But it is incredible how we kind of go into this zone and time, you know, sort of stops.
Disappears.
Yeah, we're lucky that way. I always remember, though, when I was really little, my grandma did this really funny thing. She was babysitting us, and it was summertime, and, you know, I didn't want to practice that day. I wanted to go outside and play. And she said, you know, if you'll just concentrate and sit still, then the time will go quickly, and you won't even realize it.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, I'll set the clock for an hour. And I sat down, I gave it my best shot, and before I knew it, she was back, and she said, okay, your time's up. You can go outside and play. And, you know, I didn't realize until years later that she actually left the room for, like, 5 minutes. But it was a really good trick. I recommend it. I've heard that you're very involved at your temple.
I am.
You teach young kids there.
I do.
You keep kosher. But it was a musical moment you had at temple that's been so meaningful for you lately.
Yeah. So I play the shofar for my congregation, Ikar, in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And the shofar is a ram's horn, and it's blown ceremonially on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which is the New Year holiday and the Day of Atonement in the Jewish tradition, respectively. So this one moment, it was a Yom Kippur Ne'ilah service, which is the closing service. And Yom Kippur is a fast day. Yeah. You're restricted from doing a lot of things that you would do on other days. So it's a very powerful spiritual experience. Mm-hmm. But to close the day, you blow the shofar. So blowing the ram's horn in candlelight, you know, before a congregation, mm-hmm. it was a big turnout this year, that year, maybe more than 1,000 people was so powerful and really a moving experience.
Yeah. Well, I know you haven't written anything specifically based on Jewish themes yet.
Not yet.
I feel like it's coming.
It is. Very soon.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you so much.